Watch with me. Let's talk about it. Talk about what we've seen. Buddy watch, buddy watch, buddy watch with me. Let's get to talking. It's not just TV.
Hello, this is Buddy Watch, the podcast where we watch something and overanalyze it and have a great time. I'm Vaya and I don't barrack for a footy team. So that's going to make this next little episode interesting, hopefully. And today I'm Buddy Watching with Catherine Jones, aka CJ.
Hello. From
Neighbours.
That's where I'm from.
And Beck Dahl from Chicks Talking Footy.
That's me.
On Joy FM.
Joy 94.9.
I was going to ask because I used to volunteer at Sin FM and they dropped the FM for a while and we were never allowed to say it.
Well, Joy FM is a Christian station.
Actually, somebody said that to me today when I was talking.
It causes much confusion.
A Christian station where?
In Melbourne, I think. So often people might accidentally stumble along on the wrong topic matter.
What a pickle.
So yeah, Joy 94.9, Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station.
So, this is an exciting time. Beck, would you like to explain what we are buddy watching today?
Oh, I would love to. We are buddy watching the new Channel 10 spectacular Playing for Keeps.
Oh, so exciting.
It's basically the Australian Footballers' Wives, really.
Yep. Can you explain that to me as well?
Yep. Well, Footballers' Wives was an English show about the wives of English footballers, but this is our very own AFL sport. And the women that support the players and the coaches. I'm so excited.
And it is a episodic series.
It is a feast for the senses.
Yeah.
And we are going to get right stuck in. Now, obviously, as I said, Beck hosts a show about football.
I know some stuff.
CJ, what's your football background?
I'm a fan, so I don't know anything in a credited way, but I feel I know heaps.
What's your team?
Essendon.
And you said it, I like how you said it the really authentic way too, without pronouncing the first N.
Essendon, yeah. The Bombers, the Dons.
Beck.
My team's the Adelaide Crows. I feel like my other credit is that I have a really big obsession with following the Instagram accounts of AFL wags already, the real life ones.
Really?
Oh, see, mate, you have no idea.
I haven't. I mean, I follow a few, but, you know, I'm going to have to dip into more now.
Oh, I have this problem that I find one and then I deep dive into the entire team and they're like guys that I don't even know who their boyfriends are.
Yep.
Or their partners, but I know their girlfriends' Instagram accounts.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can't follow too many beautiful people on Instagram. It's bad for the psyche.
Also, I mean, the chances of this person ever listening to this is very slim, but I went to school with this stylist to most of the WAGs in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And she's pretty amazing, I've got to be honest.
Was she the one that went on Project Runway?
I don't think so, but maybe.
One of them did.
She's not a designer. She could be doing that now, who knows. But she, you know, she styles all the big names for the Brownless. Look, she does other people, other celebrities too, but also the WAGs.
And I'm Melbourne born and bred. Beck, I assume you lived in Adelaide for a time.
Yes.
That's how Melbourne the Crows thing happens.
Yeah. 8 years in Melbourne.
That doesn't just happen.
It doesn't.
I don't have a team. Which a lot of people find strange because I'm from Melbourne, but I'm a Greek girl. Like, we didn't. That culture wasn't part of our family. I mean,
you would fit into the Melbourne or Richmond.
Well, my mum and uncle as kids, like, followed Richmond.
Okay.
But they always tell me the hard luck story of they had a black and white TV and so when Essendon and Richmond played each other, they couldn't tell what was happening.
But what about Koutafidis?
And I'm not saying the Grecians don't play and appreciate AFL.
Yeah.
But I'm saying my particular – it's a rarity. It's like – it's not – my mob don't really – also, I'm not very athletic. So there was just nothing there for me.
Well, now you've got the Southern Jets from Playing for Keeps.
That's who you go
team
for.
Now.
Actually, I very recently – well, in the last couple of years went to my first AFL game, but it was for the AFLW, the Women's League, because I really wanted to fly that flag.
The real football. Yep.
Yeah. So
– and who did you support that day?
That day, I think, womankind.
Feminism.
Sport and ladies. Yep.
Actually, funny you called it the real game because I went with my friend and her little kids and she took her son to a few AFLW games because they're played on local football grounds and it's really community atmosphere and really accessible. And then recently she took him to his first game at the G. They support Collingwood, so that's the answer to your question. I had to go for Collingwood that day, sadly. Mm. I knew that was wrong, but I had to because the other team was from Sydney.
It's offensive.
And she took her son to the MCG and it was really kind of overwhelming. Like there was a lot going on. It was loud. There were crowds. There was a lot to sit through. And at the very end he says to his mum, "I think I like the normal football better, mum."
I love it.
That's pretty good.
So it's happening. A change is coming. And I will, off the bat, get this out of the way, that I am a proud feminist, as we all are in this room.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm going to leave a bit of that at the door, I think, because I think the blanket statement is that I think men and women's sport should be given equal accolades and attention. And I despise the culture around treating the male footballers as kings that can do no wrong and that they can, you know, treat women as their playthings. And it just, obviously, that's just going to be a given and I don't need to get onto my soapbox every time.
No.
I'm just going to let this drama wash over me and just not worry about any of that stuff.
You know what the bottom line is though? Beck follows the Instagram accounts of footy wives and girlfriends. Maybe some who are wives and girlfriends of AFLW players.
Yes.
Yep. Bet she doesn't follow any of the men's accounts because they're boring.
That's right.
Yep.
Not interested.
Yeah.
Not interested.
So if you, you know, husbands and boyfriends, they would be boring accounts.
The Habs.
Yeah.
No interest.
Terrible.
Are there some Habs kicking off now that we've got the AFLW?
There are some.
And some Wags as well.
Well, there's a lot more Wags in the AFLW.
Love it.
But there are a few Habs running around. So I keep an eye on them. Daisy Pierce's, you know, fiance. I follow his account, you know, just to keep my finger on the pulse.
Yeah. But I mean, he's not doing many sponsored posts.
No, probably. He's not. No. His stories are no good. There's no super zoom. Anyway.
Now, CJ was, when we were watching this together, she was firing some questions at me. And I was just looking at her like she had two heads because I didn't know what those questions meant.
So of recent years, Australia's had some really great shows made. Most of them have been made for the cable network. So Neighbours, of course. Wentworth, Satisfaction. This show reminded me a lot of Satisfaction, actually. Maybe the Madeline West part of it, but just the feel. And I used to work in the women's prison. And on Wentworth, I could tell the characters that had been created based on people I knew. And so when I'm watching this show, I'm like, is this person based on this person?
Yes.
So, Beck, did you think any of them based on anyone we know?
Well, I saw Olympia Valanced in Instagram story where someone asked her who she had based it on.
Awesome.
And she did list a few of them. So,
as in her performance?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she said Beck Judd. Mm-hmm. She said Kylie Brown, who's Jonathan Brown's wife.
Mm-hmm.
I know him from Nova, the radio station.
And oh, yes. Yep. And I think it escapes now, Jimmy Bartel, Nadia Bartel.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a couple of others, but she did mention that. And I think she was sort of saying in a good way, like it wasn't a criticism, but she did actually say that in this Instagram story she had based on a few of them. And I think a little bit of that came through.
Yep. Excellent. Well, we'll run through a bit of the cast before we launch into this plot analysis. Well, since we mentioned one of the reigning queens of Australian drama, Madeline West, we'll start with saying who she plays. And also, obviously, we're all here, Neighbours viewers and Neighbours commentators. So a lot of this is going to bleed through into Erinsborough territory.
Yep.
So that's just going to happen. So Madeline West, best known as D. Bliss Rebecca.
Slash
an imposter called Andrea.
Yep.
Is Kath, who, she's such a Kath on this. I love
she's
it.
Actually.
I don't know.
I've never
liked Kath as a name.
Because that is your name, Catherine.
Yeah, but I don't like Kath. Yeah. It's because there's so many Catherines.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, maybe a Kath.
Well, she is the wife of the coach.
Yep.
Yes, which is something you don't often get. And I thought when I watched it, I must go home and see if I can find some coaches' wives on Instagram.
Okay.
In the AFL, because I'm not sure it's a genre I'm familiar with in real life.
Yep.
I mean, Damien Hardwick, Coach Richmond, talks about Mrs. Hardwick a fair bit.
Yep.
Never seen her, though.
Yeah. I've Googled her.
Have you? I'm going to see if she's got Insta.
The coach is played by Heartbreak High's Jeremy Lindsay Taylor.
Oh, my God.
JLT.
I love it.
Heartbreak is the definitive word.
He grabbed himself that middle name in the 90s when everybody was doing it, and he never let it go.
Ah, a la Brian Austin Green.
And
Jonathan
Taylor Thomas.
Yeah.
I wanted to think of one, and I couldn't.
We might have hit the cap.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
And
Freddie Prinze Jr.
I feel like this is the role he was born to play. Because I've had some doubts about him in some of his other productions, but I think he's come good.
He was excellent.
He was born to be a coach.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, he probably has no football skill or any other sport, but boy, he can play this role.
God, I was inspired.
Yeah, I got goosebumps in that final scene when he was, yeah.
But CJ turned to me as we were watching and said, now, is this, are they the Herds?
Well, I wondered if Madeline West was Tanya Herd.
She could be Tanya Herd. Actually, we do know Coach's wife, Tanya Herd.
We do.
Tanya, I think.
Tanya, yeah, I think, I believe you are right. Interestingly so, you mentioned that we don't hear from Coach's wives, and we did hear from Tanya Herd.
We did.
And then she was banished.
Why?
Because she wasn't allowed to talk.
Why did she talk? What did she say?
Because she came out and said that people weren't treating her husband right.
Because of he had a difficult time.
Yeah.
Give a potted history because we are going to have some international friends that join us with wanting some
neighbours. Beck might have to because mine will be both.
Yeah, they're going to want some neighbours tea.
I was going to say, is it safe for you to talk about Essendon?
Not really.
Let's just say there was an Essendon drug scandal. Let's just say.
And we've moved past
we've
that
We've moved
now.
Past that. People may or may not have done things. Things may or may not have been proven. People and were suspended.
And James Herd was the coach at the time it all
he
went
was.
Down.
And he may or may not have been complicit in things that may or may not have happened. Anyway, cut to James has had a very difficult time of all of this.
Very difficult. And he was a golden boy before that. We should point that out.
Absolutely. And so that difficult time has gone on and he's had some challenges. And effectively, Tanya did just come out and say, back off. Mm. Because the media was really getting into him when they probably should have left him quite alone. But you're right. She was really silenced after that.
Well, there was a lot of, you know, women. There was a line in this show where the media advisor told the main character, do you have a girlfriend? Don't let her talk.
Yep.
And so that line reminded me of that situation.
And we'll run through the rest as they come up. So the show starts with an early 2000s classic, a hit from Gabriella Chilmi, Sweet About Me, which takes me right back to the days where I worked in commercial radio.
Yep.
And look at where she is now, opening scene of Playing for Keeps on Channel 10.
Yeah, cha-ching.
Well done, Gabriella.
And we have Madeline dressed to the nines in her soft baby pinks, looking a vision.
Can I just say, she wears so much white and pastel in this movie, I would be just spilling shit all over myself all day long if I was her. I'd be falling over in mud. I'd be eating spaghetti. I'd be getting my period. Everything would be happening
and a little
in that wardrobe.
Silks and satins. Like, I'd be sliding off the couch.
I must say, though, did they mention whether that family had kids?
No, I don't think they did.
It's interesting.
Well, who was looking after them a bit later in the episode when her mum and dad were getting busy?
So we have the establishing sort of the matriarch and patriarch of this show, the coach and his wife, and then we have the young buck who's come in and his girlfriend, and I feel like they are the stars of this bad boy, this premiere episode.
Dan and Paige. Oh, I love it. So Dan's come from the country.
Castedon.
Castedon.
Yep.
Wookie.
Home of the Kelpie.
Yes. Who knew? Who knew? First year player, Dan, rookie, trying to, you know, break his way through. I reckon he was draft pick 4 or 5.
Right.
Like, not he didn't go 1 because there wasn't enough carry on about it, but I reckon he went 4 or 5.
Definitely not 1 because the team was in the grand final.
Oh, yeah, good point.
What does that mean?
So if you're at the bottom of the ladder, you get the first pick.
Right.
Yeah. So I reckon there was some trades and he was 4 or 5. Just my guess, AJ. Yep. Just a vibe I get. So then his girlfriend, Paige, comes on the train from downtown Castedon to meet him, has a beautiful, you know, moment at Spencer Street Station where all love blossoms.
Yep.
When she jumps into his arms. And I was sold on them for that moment. So,
yeah, and the way he looked at her in a double denim.
Problem I have with it is that she, from what we're told, has just finished uni doing a teaching degree, which is at least 3 years.
Mm.
And he's just been drafted. So she's stolen from the cradle.
Yeah, because if he's just been drafted, you would think he was 18.
17 possibly.
Unless he was a later, like a more mature draft pick. You know, it took a while. No, he doesn't look at those.
Does that not happen?
What does, but not very often. He'd be more likely to be just out of school.
It'd be a fairy tale story. So well, you get
okay,
someone, yeah.
Not to cast aspersions, but they're from the country. Maybe there were slim pickings in their hometown.
So like when there's a war on and women go with older or younger.
Yeah. Any port in a storm.
Yep.
So yeah, maybe they had a young romance from their country days and
they
were family
don't
friends.
They look mismatched though.
No, they
not
don't.
Not at all. They're two peas in a pod.
So that I thought was a bit funny because she could have been a uni student without being a teacher.
Point. Yeah, and she could have been going for teaching placements, like teaching round placement.
Mm. Yeah. But maybe she's like a Neighbours character and she did a university course over 6 weeks.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. One of those truncated teaching degrees.
Eden Hills Uni by correspondence.
Yeah, that's right.
And what's endearing about them, what one of the most endearing things, because there's
everything
so many,
was,
is that this show is shot in Melbourne, like Neighbours, except this is a very different Melbourne than the one we see in Neighbours, whereas these characters are kind of from Neighbours.
Yeah.
You know?
It's wonderful. And they get to swear. Yep. Olympia Vallance said the F word.
Which I love.
We'll get to her. And the club has rolled out the red carpet for Dan and put him up in a beautiful apartment. And there was a really adorable scene where the Paige and Dan were going through all the stuff in their new apartment. There was a welcome basket with coconut water.
She was stoked by the coconut water.
Blackout blinds.
And it was protein pancakes as well, which I've bought and not made. Yeah. Like they're just in my cupboard.
I mean, who makes them?
Just buy the packets to take a photo.
Footballers make them. And they all go out to a barbecue at the club's house, at the coach's family home, which seemed to be like in an East Melbourne kind of close to the MCG,
close to the G
townhouse.
Yeah, which is what one of the Tanya Vibe herbs I was getting.
Yes.
It was very much like the house, the one that the media lived out the front of for 6 months.
We all saw that house a lot.
Yeah. The MCG is Melbourne Cricket Ground, but best known for the football that goes on in there.
Well, some of our UK fans may know it from the Ashes.
Oh, of course, yeah. Mm. Actual cricket. Yeah. Or, you know, I've seen a concert in there, you know.
Yeah, other things happen in there.
Other things.
But for me and Beck,
it's
just the football.
Just footy.
And one of the most endearing moments in this barbecue was when poor Paige from the country rolls in with her Coles bag with barbecue goods in it.
I love that it was also the Coles cooler bag.
Yeah.
Like, because she thought that through. Yeah. If you're going to bring your snags. And it had a big French stick sticking out the side, which I just loved.
Which clearly, okay, this is getting deep dive. If she was true to form, she would have had the home brand sandwich sliced bread.
Yeah. She white and red label.
In a loaf. But art department have gone, well, that won't look as nice sticking out of the bag. So they've put a baguette.
Yeah.
So I appreciate where they were coming from because it did look hilarious.
It was beautiful.
But it just took me out of that moment for just a split second.
And when she gets in, she orders two beers.
From who turns out to be the club president, not a waiter.
I was with her, but here's the great thing that I am her, obviously. I'm a fish out of water. I'm a deer in the headlights in this world. I'm with Paige.
And I feel like this show, while there'll be people who like football watching it, there'll be people that follow Wags on Instagram watching it, but there'll be a lot of Vayers watching it.
That's right.
So it's great that they've got a character that they can relate with.
I mean, she's played by CC Peters, who doesn't have a link on Wikipedia, so she must be an up-and-comer.
Well done,
and
CC.
And George Puller as Daniel Fletcher, country boy. They are just heaven.
I see great things for them.
Oh, these baby-faced little darlings. And Dan, country boy Dan, has this kind of early Justin Timberlake hair going on for him.
He's a very attractive.
Oh, precious.
Fella.
Now, there is this scandal that they were reporting on, it kind of coming off the back of this kind of media beat up over some issue that I didn't understand that happened over the grand final season.
Well, it wasn't entirely explained, really. But what I got, CJ, you might fill in the blanks, but what I understood from it was that they'd played in the grand final the year before.
And they'd lost.
And there was, I want to say, a kick that decided it or something, I suspect. Yeah. I'm not sure. I think we'll find out more about why that grand final loss impacted them.
Which is kind of a bit basic because, you know, you don't lose grand finals on one kick. You lose them in all the other ones.
Can I say, supporting a team that did lose the grand final last year, I did have a certain affinity to the Jets on that show.
And
the Southern Jets, this is the tricky thing when you're creating fiction about a real culture.
Yeah.
And obviously AFL is a huge culture in Australia, but particularly Melbourne. And I've worked on a show where we had to make up football teams. I worked on Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries and there was a football episode and they had a great old time coming up with the names of the teams. Can't remember what they were now. And then
but they weren't real names.
No, it was like West Melbourne. I can't remember. But they go look it up, season two. But we had to make up all the colours. Like one team had green and maroon and the other team had, And
how Sydney of them.
Yeah, and so it was based on a real rivalry, like it was based on the real rivalry of the 1920s. And the tricky thing is, anything you come up with is going to sound wrong. Even as close as we can, you can get to the real teams, it's just going to sound wrong because it's not the real team.
Yeah.
So Southern Jets sounds believable, but it still sounds wrong.
Yeah. It's not a specific area. That's what upset me.
Yeah, okay, cool.
You know, because you know an AFL team's going to have...
Suburban Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't mind the Jets. I can live with the Jets.
Yeah, well, we've got the Western Jets. Well, we have the Western Jets in... it's like a... What is it called? Essendon Football League.
Ah.
It's where a lot of the Essendon players come from.
Yeah, right.
Like if they're not drafted.
Maybe
from
that
other
was
places.
The inspiration.
But I felt like it was Carlton.
Okay.
The whole time.
Yeah, right.
And maybe it was his colours or where were they training? Was it.
I couldn't work that out.
Yeah, I thought it was Princess Park.
Yeah, it probably was.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're for hire, you know?
I was going to say that's probably the place you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marked for Murder is the episode of Miss Fisher, okay. If you want to go check it out. So we have the Southern Jets. There was some really expository line really early on that just set up the entire world for me. It was just like, as wife of the coach of the Southern Jets football team, like it was just very, in one sentence, did a lot of work for setting up the world. And I was appreciative of that. So we're at this barbecue and we meet the rest of the crew. We have Maddie and Trav, who... Maddie, best known from Upper Middle Bogan, Annie Maynard. She's a class act. She's a lawyer, I believe.
Maddie is a lawyer, yes.
As are you, Beck.
As am I, as is Tanya Hurd.
Yep.
Yes. So, you know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's just three of us.
That was why it was hard
yeah.
for her to stand back. She has all the words.
Yes.
But I loved Maddie and Trav's story that he'd retired at the end of last year from footy and gone into coaching so he could support her legal career, which I quite like that storyline.
That was precious. I mean, they were fretting quite a lot about childcare.
Yeah, I mean, look, I got to tell you what, that's realistic though, because to organise childcare, it doesn't really matter who you are. It's hard.
Well, but if you're at that level of monetary success, then and au pairs have been in the media quite a lot lately.
I was going to say, speaking of AFL and au pairs.
They can arrange it for you.
That's right.
Just get a living nanny.
But Maddie doesn't want to outsource the child raising.
Neither of them does. They both are in on.
Yeah, that's a nice line for a man to say. But anyway.
Because when she did raise boarding school as a joke, he was kind of
yeah,
great solution.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Which it is for a lot of people, so they can calm down.
One thing I did worry about a little bit is I thought it might be slightly unrealistic that I assume when a lawyer takes time off for maternity leave or just isn't that present in her job because she's off buying clothes in the middle of the day for someone's launch, that they're not getting made partner.
Necessarily.
Okay. All right.
In these modern times, there's a lot more of that happening, a lot more kind of part-time partners.
Oh, that's amazing.
It does happen. It didn't used to, but and it's not perfect. Like, law's an old kind of male-dominated profession.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't shocked that she'd been made a partner.
Okay.
And she could always say she's in a business meeting when she goes to those clothes fittings.
Yeah, she's just meeting with one of the clients about their... Apparel.
Documents.
Yeah. Yeah, documents. Got the file.
That's what we say.
Yeah.
We got to give a shout out to Christos Pappas from Neighbours. I'll never remember his real name. Freckles, my Greek brethren. He's this Anglo guy playing Neighbours' first Greek man.
Yeah, not a very Greek looking
Not
fella.
Very Greek. Sorry, I said first Greek man. First Greek gay man is what I meant to say.
Yep.
Christos Pappas, welcome back to our screens, looking great in a beard. And he's the partner of Jess, who I thought was a bit vanilla milkshake. There was nothing going on there. I wasn't really into her. But then, like, she had one scene where I was just completely warmed and charmed by her.
I love her, and I think she is beautiful.
And she's going to play or is playing AFLW, I think that's the...
Right.
Is the actor.
With the curly hair? Yeah, the wife of... Was that... Am I getting the wrong person?
Are you talking about in the fictional world or the real world?
No, in the fictional world.
Did I miss that?
Yeah. So they say at one point in it that she's going to light the world on fire next year. Like they kind of say she's doing something that's like what her husband's done, something like that. And then she says, oh, well, we're the same except for the pay packet.
Oh.
So I think she's going to be playing AFLW. And now she was... A little bit more sporty than the other girls, like a little bit less, you know, high heels and makeup.
Glamour.
Yeah. So I thought maybe that's what they're trying to differentiate her a little bit.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah,
same.
Too.
Same.
Although it turns out her husband is a limited time offer.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to, which was incredible.
Yeah, so about halfway through the episode, they go shopping because one of them has a launch for a perfume, Talia by Talia, I think it was called.
Played by our Lord and Saviour, Olympia Wilde.
Whoa. I mean, that's a lot.
Of the Royal Valances.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll get to her in a second because I think we need to have a proper sidebar on Olympia.
Fair enough. So she's going to have a launch, which I love because that's exactly what the head one of these girls would be doing.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
They take Paige out shopping and pretty woman her. They like put her in outfits that she doesn't want to buy. And then she gets the feel for shopping and whacks it all on the credit card.
On Dan's credit card.
Dan's credit card, which she wasn't going to use because she was going to get a job herself.
Half an hour that lasted. Half an hour.
That's right. Funny story, Dan.
And you know what though? I'm all for that.
Same. He said use it.
Yeah.
Who could say no to the football money?
And Dan's so lovely he would not have cared.
No.
He would have been happy that she made use of it.
Although we've had some talk recently about rookies really not getting paid a much.
No, Dan's not going to be rolling in it, but he's going to be doing better than the uni student come unemployed teacher.
And I was thinking maybe it was like 5K on the credit card. Like I don't think it would have been a huge limit.
Well, the bra was $250, so.
Well, one of them said Dior, and a Dior outfit, not the one she bought, but a Dior outfit might be 20K.
No way did Paige rack up 20K.
No, she didn't. But how inappropriate for them to even put that in her hands.
I know.
Yeah.
So the moment with Jess winning me over after that shopping session.
So she waits for her out the front and then says, are you okay? That was a bit jacked up. And they did it all to me too. I was pregnant at the time and they were, you know, trying to get me in tiny little tight dresses.
And just takes this little deer in headlights under her wing and it was so beautiful and done. Yeah. I was like, yep. Because at the start I'm like, oh, she's dead weight. What do we need her for? And then by the end I'm like, oh, my precious flower friend.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah. And, of course, Paige being, you know, straight up country girl, she just takes that information and says, well, I'm going to confront her later on, Olympia Valance.
Yes.
The party.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. The whole Paige thing is hard, right?
Paige Olympia Valance.
That we're not used to calling characters by their actual name.
Sister of Holly Valance on Neighbours did not play the sister of Holly Valance, played her own person, Paige. So this is going to get hectic. So on Playing for Keeps, which by the way I hate as a title, I think it's a bit naff.
Oh, I love it because it is naff.
It's so naff. Yeah. PFK. Olympia plays Talia. Perfect name.
Oh, perfect.
They could not have picked a more perfect first name.
And they call her Tals, which I love. Love it.
And she is the girlfriend of the captain until what happens in this episode?
Well, until he makes a little announcement at the barbecue that she is now his fiancée. Mm. And she loves that, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah, she does. But she so strikes me as someone who is with him and then, like, just moots on. Like, she's going to Hollywood, just like the real Olympia, you know?
Talia is fabulous, as is Olympia. I feel the line between Talia and Olympia was blurring at times.
Yep.
And I'm not making any judgments on anyone's character, but I'm just saying the life of a neighbor's starlet with a lot of Instagram followers and glamour and fashion is not too far removed from the life of a wag.
Yep.
I enjoyed my at the barbecue when they were talking about how she was having her perfume launch the next day, and then our old mate coach JLT announced that the boys were going back to training camp, and she was just devastated at the fact that the footballers would not be at the launch to get her the publicity that she needed.
That was perfection because she did it all with her eyes. It was just they could have killed somebody, those eyes.
I loved it.
And the whole idea in the whole wag thing is, like, it's mentioned in this show that it's not just an ordinary job. The wives and girlfriends support them.
It's like how when Meghan Markle ascended to the throne and everyone was upset. Well, everyone was up in arms because they're like, she has to give up her acting career to be somebody's husband. But all the royalists were like, she's going to work harder than she's ever worked before. She's going to do charity and help poor children.
Suits is a holiday.
Yeah. So back off. And I feel like this is the world we're in.
Yeah.
All of these wags is Meghan Markle now.
Yeah. And Olympia Valance. What is her name?
Talia.
Talia. And it's perfect too. Why can't I remember
it's
it?
So good.
And Talia, she would strike you if you met her as somebody whose life is all about her. But actually, it's just not the case. It's her life's all about him.
And I also think we're going to scratch the surface of Talia and there is some depth.
Yeah. I think she's had a tough life.
Well, she alluded to kissing a boy for lunch money and her dad kicking her out or stepdad kicking her out when she was 16. So there's some stuff.
There's some grit.
Yeah.
And don't preach. One of my favourite lines of a, I think, very well written premiere episode was when poor Deer in the Headlights Paige meets Talia at the barbecue and Talia gives her this Hollywood hug and then Paige goes, "You're so soft."
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you feel when you meet this beautiful person who's perfect and coiffed and tweezed and in all the right places and they just are soft and smell nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heaven.
I think I would probably say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the first time I met Delta Goodrum.
Oh, man.
It was just...
Was she soft?
Yeah. And it was like 7:30 in the morning. It was at the radio station. I had no makeup on because it was back in the days of nothing was on the internet. So I could just wake up at 5 a.m., 4 a.m., go to work, wear anything, look like anything. And then I met Delta and like this fairy goddess comes in.
Did she smell really good?
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah, I bet she did.
And I have Delta by Delta Goodrum fragrance. So
I almost bought that today, actually.
Yeah, do it. It's a great, I'm going to get the new one. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, there was someone else that we met at the barbecue who was the club doctor.
Dr. Lauren.
Didn't we ever?
I love her.
I loved her until I hated her.
No, but I still love her. Well,
talk us through her trajectory, Beck.
So we meet Dr. Lauren at the barbecue. She's talking to Paige. I'm getting this Paige Olympia.
We got to, we'll come up with a nickname for teach.
Country girl.
Country girl.
And she's having
double denim.
Double denim. She's having a chat to her about that she's the doctor. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's semi interesting. Anyway. Then we have this scene between Madeline and JLT where they're talking about what they're going to be doing that night and going into the city. And I was like, oh, yeah, fine. Anyway, then we get to a hotel and the door opens and it's Madeline in a hotel room in some slinky underwear getting, I think, champagne or something delivered to her.
Danny McGinley.
Oh, yes.
Melbourne comedian / TV warm-up guy / Western Bulldogs banner writer.
Correct. So football connections. She goes back into the hotel and the door shuts. We assume she's gone back to JLT in this beautiful television moment that there's probably words for how they did it.
Intercut.
Madeline's in bed with some hot rando.
Yep.
And JLT's in bed with the club doctor.
Yep.
Incredible.
So it turns out they're into a bit of mixing it up.
And you're meant to think, holy crap, they're both doing the dirty on each other. But then, CJ, what happens the next morning?
They go back to the house and ask each other how their night was.
In a very telling, I know where you were, you know where I was, everyone's having a great time way.
Yeah, open relationship.
I think I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with that. However, the only football doctors I know have been at their clubs for a real long time. And I'm really keen for younger female doctors to get a run at the clubs. But I feel like the coach normally only played 6 years ago. So was she his doctor then?
Oh, yeah.
I just think Dr. Lauren's bad for the brand. Feminism and doctors. Oh, that's all I'll say. She's bad for the brand.
I'm worried that JLT and Dr. Lauren are going to develop feels for each other.
I can't do that.
But I think that's what's going to happen. But
it's only got feelings for Madeline. I mean, whatever her name is.
And Madeline's bit of stuff, we were all like, who's this guy? Who's this guy? And then it turns out we're not meant to know who he is because she's paying for his services.
Yes.
So does she not really want an open relationship and she's doing it because it's the best thing for her relationship to stay together? But if she's going to do it, she may as well.
Maybe. But then I thought, does she know that JLT's with Dr. Lauren or does she think that he's just off with a rando as well?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh,
so I think she thinks this is going to be all business. This is a transaction. He's still my number one guy, but this is happening on the side and he's doing the same thing I'm doing, but she doesn't realise, oh, no, he's dipped into the community well.
Now, interestingly so, we had a situation here in Melbourne how many billions of years ago where there was a relationship breakdown that occurred between a husband and wife and two players.
And you can probably name them.
I mean, everyone knows about Wayne Carey.
It's Googleable.
And whatever the other people's names were.
Anthony and Kelly Stevens.
Yep. And
well, actually, give me their position. So one, there was a, not their position, in context.
I believe it was on the washing machine.
Sorry, that was me being a child.
It was the same team.
Yeah, so
teammates.
It was like the captain and the superstar.
Yeah.
And the captain got with the superstar's missus? Or
the superstar got with the captain's missus.
Oh, God, that's delicious.
Was he anyway. But he's terrible. Like, I need to point this out.
Yeah, correct.
He's a terrible, terrible, terrible situation that there's been a whole lot of other things happen with mm-hmm. him. And I don't know why he's still a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's football.
That is football.
That is men's football.
Yeah.
Continue.
So we get the vibe later on in the show that something like that is happening or was happening.
Oh, yes.
In this club. And that maybe the arguments are not about the grand final.
Because Jess was having a secret conversation with
the guy that I don't really remember.
Yeah, it's hard. There's a lot of characters.
Rusty. Is he Rusty?
Rusty. He is Rusty.
Great name.
How could we not remember that?
And Double Denim spied them having a little chat at the barbecue. Yeah.
You know what, though? If she was a university student doing teaching, she could have been one of their nannies, and that would have given us more access.
Oh, I love
that's
it.
True.
Well, it all culminates in an incredible scenario.
That I did not see coming.
No, I did not. And I knew, okay, in the ads that have been running on Channel 10, they've been kind of, to me, I think, positioning it as a Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
For Australian rules football.
100%.
And there was a bit of a murder plot threaded through the ads. And I thought, well, this will come in at episode 6.
Nope.
This will ramp up to that. Bang, episode 1. Dead body.
Yep.
Let's get to it. We're at camp. Why are we at camp? Is this a thing that happens, CJ?
Yes, but normally in a different situation than just like normal camp.
What do you mean?
Yeah, not like school camp.
No. They go to like high altitude camp and like training camps that are like made by other people.
In the mountains in America and stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
Or if you're my team, the Adelaide Crows, they're much publicised camp this year where some very weird stuff happened to them. Like they were driven in a bus for 12 hours blindfolded.
What?
Yeah, true story.
Jesus. Have they not been through enough?
Were they captured by the Taliban?
There's an organisation called Collective Minds who run these camps and they are freaky deaky. So they literally got blindfolded and driven for 12 hours. They got the Richmond song played at them on loop.
And that's a different team.
That's the team that beat them in the grand final.
And not a great song.
No, I don't mind.
No, anyway, it's pretty good. Yeah.
And a lot of other really weird stuff. There was also another preseason camp story last year. The Melbourne Demons went on a camp where they had to carry backpacks full of bricks and one of the players knocked himself out because the bricks hit him in the head. So
oh dear.
The camp that they went on the show was a bit too much like year six.
Side note, would 100% watch a reality show of football camps.
I mean, that's I mean, yes.
That's the next frontier.
I mean, they had one on Foxtel. Remember they had like a reality TV show for like, they should have done that.
It was called very similar to Playing for Keeps.
Yeah, it was.
This did look like the camp we went to in high school, it CJ. Did. We did go to the same high school and they had it like a spot in Lake Eildon and it did look a lot. And we did do what these boys did. We went canoeing on Lake Eildon.
We did. Oh, no, I didn't. I never got to that age. We just went in the little pond when I was younger.
Actually, I think we were in a pond too. Never mind.
But anyway, and that's the thing. It felt like they were more like at someone's farm.
Yeah, it was very weird.
And then they'd like hired a guy from YMCA to teach them how to
like
use
a weird
canoe.
Guy.
Yeah.
So what happens here?
So they get broken into pairs to race each other or to support each other?
No, to support. They had to finish together. So unsurprisingly, the two men battling for Jess's attention.
Yeah, the superstar and the captain or whatever.
Christos Pappas. No, not the Christos just, Pappas.
But that kind of idea.
Well, they were together, the captain and the...
Captain Connor is Olympia's fiancé.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Who?
So the good one and the bad one is basically the idea, I guess.
Not Jack and Rusty.
Yeah, Jack and Rusty were together because that's how it all went awry.
And Jack, from all we know, caused the grand final loss.
Wait a minute, who's Jack? Christos Pappas?
Yep.
CJ, tell me what you think happened at this grand final.
So they keep talking about Madeline West mentions you didn't get the 50-metre penalty. So what's happened is I guess the scores are level or something like that and Jack loses his temper.
Christos.
And does something inappropriate, like punches someone. Something that couldn't be a maybe on whether, you know, something that you really shouldn't do. And a 50-metre penalty was given. just for those playing at home, 50-metre penalty is when they bring it towards the goals by 50 metres. So it's more than a free kick. It's more than saying you did bad, you got to give the ball to the other person. It's saying you did so bad that we're going to basically give them a goal. They still have to kick it, but they kick it from like
close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rusty, why was he involved in that in the rivalry at the grand final?
We don't know. I guess he's just a good guy and he wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you think there was some affairs or some bizarre going on. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's more than that. I think the club, and look, Beck might tell me wrong, but I think that they would maybe have some anger towards each other and there maybe would be some difficulties with that 50-metre type thing. But I think that they would come back from that mentally, whereas the affair, I think that's a whole different thing. Unfortunately, they're racing, not supporting each other.
Not supporting.
And lovely Dan from the country, he's winning his race. He's pretty
excited. Of course
excited.
He is. Yep.
And he's young and he really wants whatever the prize is. It's probably more coconut water. And they get there and there's a canoe upturned and Jack's missing.
And when I saw that capsized canoe, I thought, this is what we trained for in year 7.
Yep.
We had to pretend to capsize so we could get ourselves out of the situation.
I totally made mine capsize.
And because you wanted to go sit in the sun and have some snacks.
I wanted to scare the girl that was on with me.
You bitch. Yeah.
Well, Jack obviously missed that day of training.
Because I thought,
playing football.
I thought it was an exercise. I thought, this is a team building exercise. Somebody's capsized and they've got to get him out.
Yeah. So he's dead.
Christos Pappas, Jack.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
What we should point out, that Christos also had a head injury.
Oh, he got coward punched on Neighbours.
Yep. And this guy got coward punched.
Allegedly.
Into the dam. We don't know what's going on.
So he's not doing well, is he really?
No.
Poor guy. Maybe he'll get some flashback work.
Yeah, maybe.
And we find all of this out. Basically, something's gone down because then we get this broken up bad reception phone call to Double Denim.
Oh,
and poor country boy Dan is distraught.
I know. And then they cut this scene. I loved that slow motion scene of them all getting off the bus being devastated.
Oh, yeah.
It was devastating.
It was.
And someone has died. It's Christos Pappas. And now we have the murder mystery's kicked into gear.
And like, I've got to be honest that this, and there has been a terrible circumstance that happened at Beck's club, but by and large, this is not something that happens in football.
No.
So this is what made it a real TV show. Mm-hmm. Like over and above the, let's just have fun and who's being Beckjard and who's not being, you know.
But also I think controversy like this skates pretty close to some of these clubs in terms of, but there's a few players that have been embroiled.
Yeah, totally.
And not just the sexual assault stuff. That's just a dime a dozen. But like
whole different thing.
Yeah. But there's a lot of crime adjacent behaviour that I think that's what makes this a little bit believable still.
When you give young people who are really fit a lot of money, things don't go great.
No.
And people that they're vulnerable to certain kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
They also want to be involved in a glitzy lifestyle.
Comes with its challenges.
And there's another amazing moment of dialogue when Paige, Double Denim, goes to her big job interview with
the city school.
With the staff there, and one of them played by the amazing Georgina Naidoo, who was on Sea Change, and she's amazing. And she is enamoured by Double Denim being a wag.
Yep.
And because she barracks for the Jets.
Which is basically what I would have done.
Yeah.
If I was in the interview, I would have been like, wait a second, your boyfriend's blah, 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 blah.
Oh, you're
and
in.
Then, yeah.
And there was another moment I loved was when she kind of stitched up the vice principal or whatever, where she's like, oh, Jim, she can have all your classes.
You're always complaining you got too much work.
Like, yeah, here fuck, suck shit, Jim.
Love it.
Stop whinging. And the moment I loved was, she gets a phone call from Madeline West saying, get in, loser, we're going shopping.
Yep.
And she's like, no, I am washing my hair. And she said, if you're going to lie, don't talk so much.
Yeah.
And I was physically afraid of Madeline in that moment. I was like, I will do whatever you say. I forgot why I was going to mention that.
Because it was good.
Yeah, because it was good. Yeah. Oh, yeah, but just there's this expectation now that you have to press pause on your life to do whatever the club needs you to do.
That's right. The club owns you now, Double Denim.
Yep.
That's playing for keeps. I'm in.
Yep.
I'm so in.
You girls are in.
Yep.
We should do one final thing that we can kind of – what's a sports thing that the person gets awarded in a season?
3-2-1?
Like the Brownlow?
No, like MVP. Do they do that in
– It's Brownlow.
But do they do most valuable player?
Well, it is the Brownlow. It is. The Brownlow's the
What's best the, and fairest.
Best and fairest. Beth, that, oh, yeah. Is that different?
No, it's the same.
What do you mean it's the same?
The Brownlow's so just the specific name of the one for the AFL.
But there's best and fairest.
But it's the best and fairest player is wins okay. the Brownlow.
Can we do best and fairest of this episode?
Well, yeah, there's always a best of, yeah. Okay, we'll so break it down. Yes.
We're going to award that right now.
Yeah, best
you
and fairest.
You could say who gets the three votes.
Yeah, I reckon 3-2-1.
Yeah.
What's that? Is that what the Brownlow when
yeah, okay, so yeah. every game the umpire awards 3-2-1 votes.
How do I do it? You have to step me through it.
And specifically, when I say best and fairest, the reason it's best and fairest is best skills, but fairest not people who do coward punches.
You can't get suspended if you can't win if you got suspended.
Got it. Yeah.
I mean, would you get the points earlier in the game if you killed your mate in a canoe later?
It's hard to know, isn't yeah. it?
Bet go.
All right, so I'm going to give for this episode 3 votes to Jess.
Wait, is that you give the person more votes if they're the best?
Yep. Okay. 3 votes to Jess for her kindness towards Double Denim. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give 2 votes to Coach Jeremy Lindsay Taylor just for being amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give 1 vote to Dan for letting Double Denim use his credit card when he was on training camp.
Yeah. I love really how much you did not need to think about that. I really appreciate that, Beck.
CJ.
I'm going to give 3 points to Madeline West for being a woman that talks.
Mm.
I'm going to give 2 votes to Talia for having a perfume that she named after her name.
Twice, in fact, Talia by Talia.
That's right. And mentions at one point to come on the Talia journey.
I want to.
Whoa. Olympia better slow down because Hollywood can wait. Hun, whoa. She's got work to do here.
She does. She does. And I'm going to give 1 point to the coach because I want to put on the colours of this team next week and play for him.
Okay. I will give 3 points to Double Denim, my soul sister. Votes.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I said.
You said points, but anyway, 2 votes.
Damn it. 2 votes to... Oh, this is hard. Oh, this is so hard. Okay. 2 votes to beautiful Dan, country Dan, just for, you know, appreciating the train journey that his girlfriend had to go on to be with him.
Yeah.
And 1 point to Talia for being soft.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
And now do we add them up? This is fun.
At the end of the season.
Okay.
Oh! Yeah, so you're going to have to keep them recorded.
Okay, great.
And I must say, like, so when they're counting the Brownlow.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not as interesting as this.
Well, yeah. They say 3 points and they pause a lot for effect.
Yeah.
And when you were pausing, you're on like, shit, who's going to get the
like
points?
Gil McLaughlin. The only way it would have been better if she went 3 points, D, and... That's what Gil does.
Yeah. And you often know who's won, you know.
4 hours before it finishes?
No, like, I don't know, 4 rounds maybe.
Yeah.
They're all, like, celebrating and, like, everyone's still trying to
but
get their one vote.
But then Gil speeds up. Then he goes, 1 vote to Patrick Dangerfield, 2 votes. Patrick Dangerfield, 3 votes. Joel.
And then he'll slow down. He'll slow down a lot if he's going to give one to somebody who's been suspended.
Yeah. He also loves to
Is
do
that
the
for
initials.
Somberness?
Like, if there's 2 people with the same initials, like, he'll go, 3 votes are... Sloane, and everyone's like, oh, I thought it was Rory Laird. You know, like, it's amazing.
Oh, man.
Football's Night and Nights. We are Buddy Watch Pod. You can follow CJ on Twitter
at CJ the Hot Mess Mum.
And Beck, people should follow Chicks Talking Footy.
Yes, at Chicks, spelt Chicks, TLKN, Footy, spelt Footy.
Footy.
Joy Wednesday nights.
7 o'clock or podcast on iTunes.
I'm Vaya Pashos on Twitter. We are Buddy Watch Pod on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. If you'd like some more Playing for Keeps action, if you want us back for the next 7 eps.
Yeah, get on board.
Share this podcast, subscribe to us so you're around for the future episodes.
Yeah.
Give us your points, you know, your votes.
Go don't know who wins the Brownlow.
Go team, sports ball.
Yay!
Thanks, guys.
Bye.